it is time to talk our state's history. We're doing a special Michigan history segment today, marking the 100th anniversary of the deadliest flu outbreak in the history of our state, our nation, potentially the world, with 50 million deaths worldwide. It was known as the Spanish flu, and it spread across the globe near the conclusion of World War I and first showed itself in Michigan 100 years ago this week. With us now, State Archivist Mark Harvey with the Michigan History Center and medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor, Dr. Howard Markell. Dr. Markell, give us some background. Do we know how this flu that just ravaged populations around the world, how it actually started and where it started? Was it Spain, like the name implies?
Well, it's the popular conception, but we really don't know. You know, it's really a parlor game of where an epidemic or pandemic started. Unless the microbe announces itself, you know, I'm here, we really don't know. And there are many other places that have been hypothesized as the beginning of it. What we do know is that it was an H1N1 variant of flu and that very few people had immune experience with this flu. So it was particularly virulent, especially for people 15 to 45 years of age. So it rapidly traveled not only around the country, but around the world, as flu does. And it killed more people than any flu epidemic or pandemic that we know of.
When we think of things spreading today, when we're talking 2018, we think of how easily things can spread because of air travel.
Right.
How did it spread so quickly without that factor present?
Well, there was still steamship travel. And then there's a very interesting occurrence in 1918. It's called World War I. And so you had soldiers cheek by jowl in trenches and in barracks in the European theater. And of course, in America, you had young men mobilizing to go to war, and they were in various camps that were outside major cities around the country, and then traveling by train and then steamship to Europe. So that was quite a vector. And then you just have regular travel, train travel, automobile travel, and people coughing and sneezing on one another. It's simple as that.
So did medical experts at the time have any idea what they were dealing with?
Well, they knew it was flu, influenza.
Influenza.
You know, influenza is really what it is. Everyone uses the word flu for a cold, and that's not the case. Real influenza makes you sick as a dog. It is has real components of coughing, sneezing, chest pain, muscle pain, high fevers, and even delirium. They knew it was influenza, but they knew very little about viruses. They were just learning about bacteria. So they didn't know how to handle it other than basic nursing care, taking care of people in bed and so on, giving them fluids by mouth, not IV, that did not exist yet, and basically nursing them back to health. But they had no real vaccines or antivirals or any medications of any sort. In fact, most people who died didn't die of flu per se. They died of bacterial pneumonia, which was a secondary complication to having the flu, influenza.
Mark, do we know exactly when and where the Spanish flu arrived in Michigan?
We have a good sense of it, but again, records at this time weren't great. One of the earliest records I saw or mentions of it was actually 100 years ago to this day. Detroit Health Commissioner James Inches was warning Detroiters that this was going to be coming to Detroit. So a couple days later at a naval base downriver, there were the first reported cases, and then it just ballooned after that.
So that was my next question. Did it spread quickly across Michigan?
Yeah, I think it spread across the country within a week or two. There were cases reported all over the country. So again, how quickly did it spread across the state? Probably days or weeks into the UP. There's so many wide-ranging reports of this flu in the UP. It's hard to tell. But quickly, in short.
Right, right. And Dr. Markell, how did people know if they were sick, and how quick were their typical symptoms, and how quickly could it kill?
Well, it did spread rather rapidly. Probably September 20th. It actually was at a naval base right outside of the River Rouge plant of the Ford factory. But as I was saying earlier, influenza is not a common cold. You are really very ill. And so while there were no cultures, viral cultures, to prove that it was flu, these were really would be called today influenza-like illnesses, the fact that they were so sick with respiratory symptoms, the levels of fever, I mean, high fevers, 104 or higher, very bad muscle aches throughout the body, and even delirium from the fever, that you would know is different than a common cold. So they made their best guesses in terms of their diagnoses, and given that it was a pandemic, they were probably right most of the time.
And would people be gone within mere days of first feeling symptoms?
They could. Traditionally, it's babies and very old people who die of influenza for various reasons of their immune system and their respiratory tracts. But they could die within a few days, or they could get bacterial pneumonia and die within a week or so. You know, there's a great line by Victor Vaughn, who was the dean of the medical school at the University of Michigan at the time, but he was enlisted to help with the flu epidemic. And he said, bodies were being stacked like cordwood. And that shows you how many people were dying and how rapidly they were dying.
Mark, do we know how individual communities responded? I'm wondering, did some areas get quarantined, or did some towns say, nobody from the outside can come in?
Well, the state actually jumped in and finally ordered statewide closures for various businesses and public places, and really singled out places that they felt there could be easy transmission of the disease. One paper reported that the Sunday that this closure order went into effect was the bluest, quote unquote, bluest of all blue Sundays, referring to the blue laws that didn't allow you to do certain things on Sundays. And then they even passed a law that quarantined homes that had individuals that had influenza. And if they broke that quarantine, they were punished with a $100 fine or up to 90 days in jail.
How did all of this come to an end? And how long did this pandemic run?
Well, the pandemic, like most flu pandemics, just burned itself out. But there was not just the 1918 influenza pandemic. It extended well into April of 1919. And then, we don't talk about this much, there was another wave of flu in the winter of 1920, January through April of 1920. Mm. And by spring, it seemed to die out in 1919. But, you know, Michigan and Michigan cities didn't have a good record of imposing these so-called non-pharmaceutical interventions, quarantine, school closure, public gathering bans, early enough. And a study that we did at the Center for the History of Medicine at U of M with the CDC found that you had to do all of these interventions early before flu spread out all over your community. You had to do more than one and to layer them, so to speak, and you had to do it for a long period of time. Most communities started way too late and did them in a haphazard way, which had all the social, not benefits, but the lacking of benefits. You know, they're really disruptive, but none of the benefits by doing them early and long enough. Detroit had one of the worst records in the United States. Grand Rapids, on the other hand, which imposed these interventions early and for a long period of time, had one of the best records in terms of mortality from influenza that year.
How did that result in death toll in Michigan?
Well, the death toll is quite high. We don't have good records, but if we use the average case fatality rate around the country and apply it to the number of cases that we know occurred in Michigan, probably about 19,000 Michiganders died of flu that year.
When we realize that there were 50 million deaths worldwide from Spanish influenza, where does that put it if you were ranking awful pandemics to strike the world?
Some of those numbers go even as high as 100 million deaths worldwide.
So
it's the great mother of all pandemics, to misquote Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
It was the worst
that
we know of.
Oh, boy, that is something. And if such a flu, if we had this kind of influenza outbreak today, would Michigan be ready?
Yes and no. We have much better hospital systems and intensive care units and medicines in our armamentarium. Our public health department is very qualified, but their budgets have been cut ridiculously low levels, most people would say, over the years. So it would be a challenge. And the other challenge is, how would the population at large respond? And a big thing to remember is that if you are sick, stay home. Don't tough it out and go to work, because you'll infect others. So that's important for people to know as well.
Lessons to be learned. And for anyone who wants to dig more deeply into the history of Spanish flu, Spanish influenza, Howard, you and your colleagues compiled a lot of data for us to review on a website. So what'd you compile, and what's the site?
Well, it's called the 1918, 1919 Digital Influenza Encyclopedia. It has all things influenza in the United States during that year, newspaper clippings, documents, basically the biographies, if you will, of 50 or more cities we keep adding to it in the United States, how they responded, who was mayor, what they did, all the scandals, all the inside dope, so to speak. And you can go to influenzaarchives.org. And you will be occupied, I guarantee you, for hours on end.
Dr. Howard Markell, PBS contributor and medical historian with the University of Michigan, and Mark Harvey, Michigan History Center State Archivist. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.